The good.
The bad.
Thinking.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
While the merry bells keep ringing, happy holidays to you.
Welcome back to episode 88 of The Good, The Bad, and the WTF, What Are They Thinking? And it's officially Christmas time for us.
Christmas.
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 No, you were way out of time.
No, you were out of time. I was doing the Christmas thing. You had to, like, you just had to speed up the tempo.
Okay. Anyway, this film wasn't very festive to start with, let's be honest. No, the first film you picked. We'll get to it in a bit, obviously, but over to you. You said you have some news or you have some bits?
I have some bits, yeah, I have some bits. So I don't know which one to start off with first. Let's start off with the lesser of the two. It is officially the awards season. The awards season has officially began.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And
it is.
The one I want to talk about, because we have like the main ones, but one that I always like to see is the New York Film Critics. I always think they're one of like the first major ones to come out, and it gives you a kind of idea of the kind of movies that you might see pop up. So there's always a narrative. Like, I follow Variety a lot. I follow their Oscar predictions, and they always bring out that these are the movies, these are the movies. And as soon as the awards start coming, as soon as the critic ones come in and then you get the main televised ones, you start to see a narrative. And it's one of my favourite times of the year, because not for like who I think is the best, but I like the surprises. I like the motion of it all. I'm not, yeah. I've long gone past the idea that the best picture is the best picture. It's just which is the one that people are campaigning the most for. But they have... They have released the New York Film Critics Association have released their movies that they think are the best ones. So let's go into it. So a few good ones here. The best non-fiction film, all the Beauty and the Bloodshed. So that's the documentary. Best international is from Poland, EO. Which I believe is The Life of a Donkey. I believe that's about The Life of a Donkey.
Yeah, okay, makes sense.
There's one that's coming on movie soon, which was Best First Film, which was called After Sun. Now, I've heard a lot about this movie lately.
I want to see this movie.
I have. It's from A24. It will be on Mubi, I think, either this month or the next month. But there's so much talk about this, so this must be a very interesting little movie. Best Cinematography, Top Gun Maverick. Picked up that one.
Yep.
Best Animated Film, Marshall the Shell with Shoes On, which I've heard is like a little short, not an independent, but like not one of the big boys. It's again A24 animated movie. Best Screenplay, The Banshees of Inisherin.
Good choice.
This one is a very interesting choice for Best Supporting Actress, not only because I think she's more of a lead actress, but it's a bit out there. Kiki Palmer for Nope.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I suppose she probably is a supporting actress.
I don't know. I thought she was more the lead in that movie.
Is she? She's not the lead, is she? Because the lead
co-lead,
is...
Co-lead,
I suppose so. That makes sense, though.
Best Supporting Actor is Ki Han Kwan for Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Lovely.
I thought he was pretty good in that movie. Best Actress is Kate Blanchett for Tar. This is another movie that I'm very eager to watch when that comes out.
Yeah.
Best Actor is Colin Farrell for The Banshees of Inisherin and After Yang.
I love it.
I can see him possibly winning. Best Director, this is also a bit of a one that I think you'll be happy to see. S.S. Rajamouli for RRR.
Love it. deserves its plaudits. It really does.
I could see, really could does. You see that maybe like doing well on Oscar night?
I think it has to have some sort of place. I think if it doesn't even get a nomination, I'd be very annoyed. It deserves its recognition. So hopefully, yeah. If it's done right, then yes.
And the last one is Best Picture went to Tar.
Nice.
So nice. I'm looking forward to Tar. Tar's a movie that is about a composer's life. And it is very... it's very highly praised. So I am very eager to see that movie.
That's going to be a big one. That's going to be a big one. That didn't come out that long ago either, did it?
What, Tar?
Yeah, I don't think it even came out that long ago, did it?
I don't September. Think it's... has it been released here? Or is that just
it's,
in America?
Oh, sorry, it's out in the States, isn't it? Yeah, no, it hasn't actually been released over here yet.
It'll
no.
probably be January then around here.
Yeah, probably, which is a good time. Around the actual buzz of the Oscars, always a good time to release a movie in the UK. It's 13th of January it comes out. There you go. So yeah, do you reckon that's going to be a front runner for the Oscars?
I'm not too sure. Apparently, it's a very bleak movie. It's a very dark movie, and I don't know. It's hard with the Academy. Do they like a dark movie or do they want a happy movie? I think the Fablemans. I think the Spielberg. Yeah. Fablemans is still the big one that I'd expect to maybe win.
I mean, yeah. According to Variety, the one that's ranked number one in terms of the Oscar buzz, or maybe even just at the moment, predicted nominees, The Banshees of Inisherin is at number one, Fablemans 2, Tar number 3, Everything All at Once 4, and Maverick Top Gun 5. There you go. RRI hits Banshees? Number 10. RRI is on there at number 10. I can see the Banshees picking up a lot of the screenplay and acting awards. I'm not sure if they'll get Best Picture.
No, I'm very dubious. I think it's... I like the movie. I really do like the movie. I don't know if it's a movie that I can imagine getting a lot of number one votes. And that's what it's about.
I'd love
it to. The best film. I don't know. I haven't seen every movie. I can't say which one's the best one. I would say Banshees is my favourite film of the year. So it wouldn't be my choice.
Okay.
At the moment.
Fair enough. Oh, it's already out. Glass Onion already out.
I think it's doing a limited Netflix cinema release and then I think
Netflix. Okay, yeah, Netflix December 23rd. Interesting. That would be a good one to review because that's got a good buzz around it as well.
I liked the first movie, so I would like to see this one.
The first movie was great. Yeah, it's already started off well. I honestly thought that maybe the follow-up movie wouldn't get wouldn't be as highly praised, but yes, it's actually quite good. Interesting. Right. What's number two? What's your second bit of news?
Number two is this is one you'll like. I'm not going to reveal the full list. But Sight and Sound do a thing where every 10 years they get the critics from, they get a selection of critics to all vote the 100 greatest movies of all time. Now, the last one was in 2012, and they've done the 2022 version now. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole 100. If you want to find it, you know, just find Sight and Sound's 100 greatest movies. I think you'd like some of the movies they put in there. They put some, obviously, some newer movies in. But we'll just say who the top 10 are. Because these are some good ones. So at number 10 is Singing in the Rain.
Okay.
Have you ever seen it?
I've not. I got a feeling I may not have seen many of these movies.
You might have seen a few. Singing in the Rain is great. I do like it. I don't know if it's top 10. Number 9 I've never seen is Man with a Movie Camera. This is from 1929. It's a Soviet Union movie.
Okay.
Number
no,
eight.
I've not seen that.
Number 8, Mulholland Drive, David Lynch.
Yeah, again, I've not seen it.
Wow.
Would you believe that? I've not seen it. That should be one on my list, really, shouldn't it?
I think maybe we should try and watch I think we should one day try and watch all the 100 greatest sight and sound movies, if we can.
In a day.
Not in a day. That would be
ranking the top 100.
Just watching it out of just curiosity more than anything.
That's probably a good idea.
Number 7 is Boo Travail from Claire Denis.
No.
I've never seen that one. Number 6, 2001 A Space Odyssey.
I have seen that.
You've seen that? There's one. One out of 10 isn't bad.
Well, there you go. It's not bad.
Number 5 is In the Mood for Love. Wong Kar-wai. Now, it's interesting because that movie is one that a lot of newer film directors cite as a inspiration to him. So, it's quite good. Number 4, Tokyo Story, 1953.
Nope, not seen that one either.
Number 3 is Citizen Kane.
Number 3. Yeah. Interesting.
Number 2, The Vertigo.
Okay.
And number 1, I've never seen this before, but now I'm curious to know. Jean Dalman, 23 Coup d'Oeuvre Commerce, 110 Bruxelles. This is a Belgian movie from 1975.
Wow.
I've never heard it, and it's now been considered by all these critics as the greatest movie of all time. So, I mean...
Greatest movie of all time. It's hard to pick a greatest movie. I always find it's very much to someone's taste, isn't it?
Yeah, let's be honest. If they're critics, they're not going to be... I wouldn't say they are populist movies, which might make them hard. I mean, this movie alone is 201 minutes long.
Jeez.
So, but I'm curious to know how great it is. It could be great. Who knows? I mean...
It probably will be good. I mean, it almost definitely will be good. Interesting you mention... I'm interested it comes at this time of the episode. In the Mood for Love. My next movie I was going to pick for next week was potentially going to be one of the informal trilogies of that movie, which is 2046, which is all set around Christmas. And I was going to pick that movie because that's an interesting movie to do, but I didn't pick it. The reason I didn't pick it was because it's part of an informal trilogy, and I thought, I don't want to pick that now before watching the two previous, which could also be part of a list in the future. So I left it, but interesting that it came up again.
I mean, Wong Kar-wai is as a director that a lot of people cite as a great director. I've never seen too many of his movies to really get a handle of him. But listen, a lot of people cite him as an inspiration, so there's got to be something there.
Exactly. There has to be.
There has to be, man.
Is that everything for the build up?
That's for the build up. But like I said, I'd say go through that. I haven't looked at it all, but go through that list because there's some interesting movies that have been put on there. Get Out's on there, Parasite's on there. So yeah, it's kind of interesting to see what's made the 100. Like I said, it's interesting that they do it every 10 years.
Yeah.
So it's like. Because like I've always said to you, like it's good, like a 10-year breathing gap, and then making the list again is good because your choices always change. I don't know about you, but like when I think of my favorite movies, they are always fluctuating. They're never the same movie. It always changes depending on if I've seen something that really grabbed me, and it goes up and down the list.
Oh yeah. I think on a different day, my top five is always different. Absolutely. It all depends on your mood. It all depends on what movie you've seen recently as well. I think certain movies shape your vibe when picking these things. So, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I can never pick a top five, I think.
I couldn't pick a consistent top five.
No. It would change a lot. Right, let's get into our first Christmas movie of the season, shall we?
Let's go for it.
Let's go.
Happy holiday, while the merry bells keep ringing. Happy holiday to you.
Happy holiday, happy
this week's movie, the first Christmas movie, very festive pick, was selected by yourself, so why don't you go through it?
We're finally reviewing Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yep, this which is what this I call when I've had Mexican food. Silent Night, Deadly Night. Carry on, I interrupted you there.
Every night's silent and a deadly night for me. So the story is, little Billy witnesses his parents getting killed by Santa after being warned by a senile grandpa that Santa punishes those who are naughty. Now Billy is 18 and out of the orphanage, and he has just become Santa himself.
How did you watch this movie? Where did you partake in this movie? Was it Amazon Prime brought one, or did you?
It was. I thought it was on Shudder, and I made a mistake. It was part two that was on Shudder.
Make a mistake because I had to pay for this one.
$1.99 rental was fine though.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I didn't shudder at the price.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but why would you have part two but not the first one? And because
people
want to
watch the first
season.
One. People want to watch the first one, don't they? So that's the valuable one. You know, the valuable one is there.
But you pay a subscription to Shudder anyway.
Who knows? Yeah, I watched it on Amazon. Did you notice at certain times the quality went from really crisp to really shite at certain
Which
moments?
One did you watch, the HD or SD?
HD.
Same here. I didn't notice it. Yeah, but you watch it on your phone, don't you?
No. I watch this on the telly, on the TV, all in one go.
Mine seemed right.
All in one go. I watched this a long time ago. I noticed the quality. I tell you what scene where I really noticed it. It was always when something murderous was happening. It was the scene when he kicks in the back door of the shop, and he's on his proper rampage. It dips in and out at those points. Really weirdly, because the quality difference is crazy. Like, the remastered of this movie is really good, and then when it dips back to the old quality, you're like, fucking hell, what happened?
I wonder if this is a director's cut, because
maybe
when this movie came out, let's give us some backstory here. The release of this movie was picketed by angry parents. You know, they were outraged that this movie was going to scare their children.
Losers.
And so they wanted this movie banned. Okay, so I can imagine that the outrage, maybe they softened some of the kills. But some of the kills, I was surprised how brutal they were. For example, and this is one that when you say to me, I actually think I did notice the drop in quality, is when he impales the half-naked girl on the antlers.
Yep, I remember that
scene. Do you reckon
scene.
That was... Do you reckon that was added into the DVD cut, maybe? Because it just feels like... It feels so gruesome. I looked at it and thought, wow, this is really gruesome.
It was pretty gruesome. I mean, that scene was especially gruesome because it was kind of slow. It wasn't like he just plunked her on. It was like he's pushing her in and it was coming for her chest. So it was quite dark and slow. I think that was this movie in general. There was a lot of uncomfortable scenes.
I didn't like his super strength.
No.
I thought that was a bit left field when suddenly he had super strength and he could, like, hurt everybody.
Yeah, it was a bit... He did go, like, almost to Mike Myers, didn't he? He went for a few sequels. He was in, like, the early noughties Mike Myers with that strength. But, yeah, this was a... I don't know what to make it. Is it, like... I'll be honest. I was disappointed.
Yeah.
It was a bit basic. It was such a classic slasher movie.
It was always going to be basic. This was the cell was the title and the poster.
Oh, they were the best.
They had to get in there. I don't think it was as bad as it could have been.
No,
I do think it was one, like you said, it was very slow. That for periods of this movie. You could have, like, if you turned on this movie unaware what this movie was, you would have been shocked when murder happened. I mean, there was a bit in there where we had a montage with this, like, lovely jingle sound where Billy's now working at a toy shop, and he's doing a really good job, and he's, you know, he's doing a good job because his boss gives him the nod of approval. He's like, yeah, this kid, I don't think this kid's going to kill anybody. He's fine. He'll be good.
Yeah, apart from, I mean, if you cut out the very early scenes, if you start it at the orphanage and then end it on, what point would you end it? There was a few like dream sequences, I guess, where he was losing his mind a bit. Maybe after the montage, after he gets a job and he's happy and he's at the montage, then it would end and you'd be like, oh, this is actually like a nice little festive movie. But it doesn't start that way. It is, it's very traumatic, isn't it? His childhood and what happened to his parents. Very traumatic.
In a ridiculous sense, this is typical, like, we don't understand what it is to have like a mental illness. So that means that because he saw Santa kill somebody, he's going to kill people. It's like, I don't think you know how mental illness works, but you know, I understand, because at the end, when suddenly one of the kids watches Billy die and he goes naughty, I'm like, what the fuck is this? Some sort of like,
that's spirit the second one.
That it like jumped in. It's like, do you know the second one? You actually know the second one quite well, and that's why I want to watch the second one. Do you remember on YouTube in the early days, they used to have a collection of like the worst scenes in movies? Remember they had the Trolls one, Trolls 2. It said, they're eating her, and then they're going to eat me.
Oh, yeah.
My God. Remember that? Yeah. Well, there was a second one, and you'll remember it as soon as I say it, where a guy walks up to a guy putting garbage outside, and he goes, garbage day! And then he shoots him.
Is that from this movie?
That's from Silent Night, Deadly Night. Part 2.
Wow.
And I've got to watch that now. And it's on Shudder, so I'm going to watch it.
It's free. Yeah, paid for Shudder again. I did cancel my Shudder subscription. I had to pay for it again. Reenact it. It was 99p for the first 3 months.
Six months. So yeah. I'm going to keep it for 6 months. 99p, yes, sir.
Yeah, why not?
But yeah, and so I do want to see that one just for the garbage day. But you know, the whole bit at the end where he goes naughty, and then you think like, what is this?
Naughty. Sort of like, it's always a
gin or something.
Naughty. Dun dun dun.
Punish.
Punish.
Naughty.
Yeah, it was a dumb movie. Let's be honest. A lot of nudity, a lot of unnecessary nudity, which is very 80s. Yeah, very, very 80s.
This is what they did in slasher movies. You have to show, you've seen Cabin in the Woods, you have to show breasts.
True. Breasts. Otherwise, the audience won't be happy.
They want to see boobs, okay? Yeah. And you can't blame them for that. They're a bunch of horny teenagers that want to see boobs. Yeah, that's fine.
That was the sale of the movie, wasn't it? Violence and boobs. That was the sale of the movie. Interesting about this movie, though. Obviously, the PR worked wonders, didn't it? Because it briefly outgrossed Nightmare on Elm Street and was playing in more than twice as many theaters. But then it got pulled from theaters and it lost loads of money. So really, the true like magnitude of this movie wasn't ever fulfilled, was it? Because of those angry parents who were more pissed off about a killing Santa Claus than Nightmare on Elm Street. Nightmare on Elm Street just flew under the radar and was able to succeed. And this movie wasn't. So
this came out at a weird time.
It did.
It came out on the 9th of November.
Is that that weird?
Christmas movie.
Is that weird? That's a month and a bit before Christmas. That's not weird.
No, it's a Christmas movie. Why would you have it any other time?
Yeah, you said it came out at a weird time.
Yeah, it is a weird time. November is a weird time for a Christmas movie.
Is it?
December's a good time for a Christmas movie.
Yeah, but you want to give it long enough. You got to remember, like, back then, the cinema screenings, they went on for longer. They were weeks longer than they are now.
I mean, fucking months longer, you mean? I mean, like, a movie comes out on cinema in like a week, and a week's time, it's already on VOD.
Exactly. Back then, it was like, that was the only way to watch it, so it'd probably run for a lot longer. It'd probably just keep running it if it's selling money, wouldn't it? As long as tickets are being sold, it would just keep going and going and going and going until eventually it made it out onto VHS. Otherwise, there was no other way to fucking watch it, was there? Absolutely no way.
No, VHS. No. This would have been a killer on VHS. I mean, if you went to a Blockbusters at that time and you saw that poster, you saw what it was. Oh, you'd buy it. You'd buy it.
Of course you would. Of course you would. You'd have to. You'd absolutely have to. So it was a shame we got pulled from the cinemas. I mean, that's a bit stupid. I think it was that bad. I wasn't watching the movie going, oh, I can see why they pulled this one. I've seen worse. It was just because it was a killer Santa who wasn't even Santa, right? It was a kid dressed as Santa. It's not like he was... I thought this movie was going to be about Santa being a killer.
No, that's called Santa's sleigh.
This is a... this is a killer dressed as Santa. That is literally it. That is literally it.
And this is the other weird thing. This isn't the first Santa killing people in movies. I mean, Tales of the Crypt had one of the segments was of Joan Collins being attacked by a guy dressed as Santa coming into her house. Mm. And there was another movie called Christmas Evil. Again, someone dressed up as Santa killing people. And I find it strange that people are so like, no, this is so traditional. I mean, come on, you fucked Santa over already by this point. He's already Mr. Coca-Cola guy at this moment. He's all red now. What happened to his green? The honest traditional values of Santa have long since died by the 80s.
Big time. Big time. The 80s were still trying to cling on to it, though, somewhere or another. I think parents back then just like being angry about stuff. There wasn't, Mum's Net back then, you know. It wasn't like Facebook or anything to really vent their frustrations. They had to do it in person. They had to get their little signs and go like that.
Well, thank God. I mean, I hate... At least back then, people actually made an effort to make the protest. Nowadays, you just say, unfollow. We're just going to unfollow you on Twitter. We're going to put up a little solidarity flag on our Facebook profile pictures. You know, that's what we're doing these days. Then you look like you did like proper stuff, but I think it's more to the case because even like Siskel and Ebert really shat on this movie and said like they were condemned it so bad. And I think again it's this misconception of mental illness where they think if you watch movies like this you become a serial killer.
Yeah,
that's not how it works. And I think they blame movies like this for promoting violence, and I don't think this one promotes violence. I think it promotes nudity. I don't think it promotes violence. Maybe crappy, cheesy 80s music, which I like how like they just find these 80s songs to just put in this movie and think, who the fuck? Like when they turned on the stereo, the two teens having sex on a pool table, which instantly I thought, I wouldn't have sex on a pool table. Like that's the worst place to have sex. And not only that, but like I wouldn't want to break the pool table.
Fair, pool tables are expensive, man.
They are expensive. And also, you want to keep them clean because you want to play on them. See like jizz stains all on a pool table. But I mean, when they turned on the radio, they put on the most generic crappy 80s music and they're like, nobody listens to that. Nobody's listening to that song. That's just something that you had to get because you had no licensing purposes for any other music.
Real soundproof in that basement as well where he was playing pool. Because he didn't hear anything that was going on upstairs.
Real soundproofing everywhere in this place. Even the toy store. You can't even hear rape going on. It's like everybody's like in their own little worlds here. I mean, like, and they forget about the other people. When the other woman sees the all the lights go off and the manager's gone away and she's shouting for them, like, where are you? It's like, you know, there were two other people there as well. I'm wondering where they are. It's like, three other people because we even don't know that... Billy's the killer at the moment, so there's three other people, including the manager, that have disappeared, and you're just shouting the manager's name. Like, you know everybody's dead and Billy's the killer.
She sobered like, up pretty fast, didn't she?
Didn't you if an axe came at you?
Before the axe, she sobered up as she was walking around. You would sober up with an axe if an axe was coming at you. I'd be dead in a minute. I'd be tripping over everything. I'd be dead in a minute. The scene would not have been as enjoyable as it was. Not played out the same way.
The thing I like about this movie is it's so schlocky. And this is one thing I like about older movies is that you know they don't have any money in this movie. For the fact that there's very limited scene locations. Yeah. Like, a lot of it is set in the store, which is the crappiest fucking store I've ever seen. I mean, the back room is just one desk and a load of like stock around the place. The only interesting thing was looking at all the toys that were there, not seeing Jabba the Hutt toys and stuff like that. I was like, just doing Easter egg hunts and say, oh, look, Krull's there. I mean, do you remember Krull? Krull was like that movie that was meant to be the new Star Wars and just was nobody watched Krull. And like they try to plug that shit. And I didn't realize that they spent a lot of money on toys as well.
They certainly did. They certainly bloody did. This movie was just, I don't know. There are a lot of weird scenes in this movie. I like as well how the main actor, Robert Brian Wilson, he also disowned the movie at the time, didn't he? He disowned the movie and told his friends and family not to watch it, all this stuff. He has obviously since gone back on that and is a part of all the conventions and everything that happen and all the, you know, all the screenings that come back every now and then. So I imagine this film has a little bit of a cult following, which is odd.
It is, because they made a lot of these movies. It's not like it didn't have sequels. They
too
really
many. Too many.
Way too many. But they definitely it definitely had a cult base, they had a fan base. You can see why though, because it's a movie that you could watch with your friends and laugh at. You no one's gonna take this movie seriously, but it's not a movie that I would say, even though it's not particularly a good movie, I wouldn't say that it's an unwatchable movie.
Yeah.
I would say there's a lot to like about it, but it does feel like a collection of scenes. And then the end, I just think, was like, oh, we got no more money. Let's just like rustle up an ending here and let's just get him shot in a slow-mo position. And that's the end of the movie.
And it was broad daylight as well towards the end of the movie. So we had Christmas Eve night, and then most of the, you know, next part was all during the day, them trying to find him. And then obviously the final scene was during the day. So, yeah, it wasn't really trying to be scary all the time, was it? It was just kind of just being what it was, I guess.
His kill count was also random. I thought that was another thing.
It was like 14.
Killing all the people in the... 14 people. Killing all the people in the stores makes sense. Killing the promiscuous teens. I didn't really understand.
What was that about?
Where did that come from?
I was starting to think, who are they? Do we know these characters? Did I miss a scene?
This has come at the right time, you know? Like, and also, who's half-naked calling their cat into the fucking, like, in the middle of nowhere? Just like, I like that she put on her shorts, but she didn't put a top on. It's like, I can't be that naked. I have to at least wear shorts, but like, yeah. I have my boobs out.
Typical 80s nonsense there, weren't
typical
it?
80s nonsense. And also, the door. I mean, my God, that looked like such a thin door. As soon as he like put his hammer through, the door completely...
Oh,
just,
it was paper thin.
Like, it just went, didn't it? It was like made out of paper mache or something. I mean, that was just so instant that went.
Yeah, it fell to absolute pieces. It was ridiculous, wasn't it? Just ridiculous. That whole scene was ridiculous. And then... only 9 people were killed by Billy. Sorry, so there were 14 people died. I'm guessing that was the parents at the start and everything. And then obviously Billy himself. Father O'Brien was killed, wasn't he? That was a bit of a dark scene. They killed the priest who was dressed up as Santa because, you know, he didn't answer them when they said turn around. Which is very American. Very, very, very American, just to shoot on
some site. Of those imposter Santas were sketchy. I mean, the one that was going up the ladder to go to his daughter's room, that's like, that's a bit sketchy. I could see why. It's like they were like, what are you doing busting in our house? It's like, man, it doesn't matter if there was a killer Santa on the loose. There's a guy with a ladder going up it to an open window where a little girl sleeps. Why doesn't that not look suspicious?
Yeah, that is suspicious. You can't deny that one, right? Yeah, that would... People would be like, well, what were you doing?
Yeah, what were you doing? What did you think was going
to
happen?
A bad time to do that as well, but not fully his fault. Christmas Day, people do generally dress up as Santa Claus on Christmas Day.
And climb through windows.
Some people go the extra mile, you know, for their kids. I don't know. But, was he deaf, Father O'Brien? I mean, they said he was deaf, and that was why he didn't turn around. That's something.
And now he's dead.
That's something for your conscience, isn't it? Right.
You killed a deaf priest.
Yeah, a deaf priest.
You're going to hell.
Santa Claus in front of orphan children. That is a story. Yeah, you tell that story. You go to hell and they go, why are you here? Can you tell me why you're here? I don't know why I'm here. Well, let me tell you why you're here. You killed a deaf priest who was dressed as Santa Claus on Christmas Day in front of orphans.
and he was unarmed.
And he was unarmed.
It's like, he didn't hold an axe or anything. He had his hands out. It's like, you could have tackled him to the ground. He didn't have a weapon on him.
They could, yeah, there were other ways to solve that situation, but they were panicking, obviously, weren't they? There was a killer on the loose. Billy, who suddenly snapped. What do you think of the moment where he just snapped? Why did he agree to dress up as Santa? Would you dress up as your parents' killer? I would explain to them, my parents were killed by Santa Claus. I don't want to dress up as Santa. And I think they would turn around and be like, yeah, okay. But maybe in this story, he'd probably be like, I don't know. You saying you don't want to go the extra mile for the company you work for?
I think Billy throughout the movie was unfairly treated by a lot of people who didn't really understand that he watched his family get killed by Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And that fucked him up. And so they're like, oh, just put him in a toy store. What about when it comes up to Christmas? I don't worry about it. I'm sure he's fine now. He's an adult. He's not a kid. You know, Santa's not real.
He's only like 18, really.
Yeah, but he's not a kid anymore. I mean, he looks the most 18-year-old looking fucking guy in the world. That guy's like nearly 30, and he can't play an 18-year-old. There's a few like death scenes again, like the sleigh scene where they're going down on the bobsleigh and they get beheaded. I mean, like, where did he come through out of there? It's just like he just teleports into like scenarios where he's just going to kill people randomly.
That was very Mike Myers, wasn't it? Just going door to door, you know, whoever just, about.
But if you think of it logically, how opportunistic is that moment, right? He's just wandering around the woods, like, in the middle of the night. It's not a place where you expect people to be, right? And not only that, but he manages... As he comes near a scene, he manages to see a guy coming down a bobsleigh just as he's behind a tree, and he beheads him. I mean, like, how opportunistic is that? You think of the series of events that led him to that moment in time.
It is silly, isn't it? It is very, very silly. But a lot of this was silly. This was just kind of like, I don't know. I think we should do a new thing with these Christmas movies. I think we should have a new, not just a good, bad, what the fuck. I think we should have a Christmas rotation, you know? Is it good enough to be part of the Christmas? You know, every year everyone watches the same five or six movies, you know, that they like. Like, I've asked to be like Muppet's Christmas Carol, Home Alone. I mean, they're in the rotation. Would this make it into the Christmas rotation?
That's a hard one. That's a hard one.
Would you watch this again next year, the year after, the year after, the year after?
Yeah, but I don't really watch movies all the same. I always alternate because I do get bored.
But would it be part of the regular one, or would it be one that you'd be like, I'm happy if I never see that again at Christmas?
It wouldn't be a regular one, but I wouldn't say I'd be happy never to see it again. I might go, oh, I'd like to see it again, but... It wouldn't be a regular.
So the answer is no. It wouldn't make the Christmas rotation. It wouldn't make mine either. I mean, we both admitted as well when we watched the ref last year. We both admitted that could be part of the Christmas rotation going forward. Okay,
we've got in the top 50 Christmas movies.
So that does.
Would this get in the top 50?
No, and getting in the top 50 is like I don't know. It's not a pristine lineup, is it? It's not. It's not the toughest thing to break into, but this probably still wouldn't make it.
No, I'm thinking what number top 50. I think it's the Christmas Chronicles is at number 50, and this is not. I'd say Christmas Chronicles is a better movie. Not a lot you could say. Christmas Chronicles doesn't get a lot of praise from a lot of people, but between these two movies, that one's the better. I I liked it. I liked its cheesiness. There's a little bit of... I went into this movie thinking, I bet it's not going to be very good. It's going to be a schlocky, typical 80s like slasher movie that might have some interesting kills. It had some bizarro kills. It took, what was it, like 40 minutes before like the first murder by Billy? It was really slow to the point that I was like, this is like a biography of Billy at the moment.
It was a biography of Billy. We saw a lot more than we see of other serial killers. You know, we got to really see where it came from, and not just a quick intro. We got to see, you know, everything else. He also had a brother.
The rise and fall.
The rise and fall, and then he passed the baton over. Over to Ricky. So it was solved as well. It's kind of how Halloween almost should have been. Like, when he dies, right? We're over it. It's done. We move on. Someone else can be the killer.
The chain of events of this movie are bizarre, aren't they? The idea that, you know, the scene our grandpa tells him that Santa Claus is going to punish kids, and then they just happen to drive past a Santa Claus that's like, had a car troubles on the side of the road that asked him to pull over and help him, and then he just randomly kills him without any really... It didn't really seem like there was any motive apart from him being crazed.
Yeah, there was no motive. There was absolutely no motive.
I couldn't understand a bit where he like rips his mother's shirt off to reveal the breasts and then just slits her throat. Like, I thought, like, what, did you want to see her boobs before she died? I thought that was a bit like, that was a bit odd.
I think you're questioning that, but that is the director getting that in there for the movie. That's all it is.
You got three naked women in this movie.
Yeah, for no reason. Absolutely no reason whatsoever.
No reason. No. And there wasn't really a lead in this, like a lead good person either. It was just Billy's on a rampage. There was no good... There was a cop at the end that shot him, but you never really knew anything about him.
Yeah,
the sister. What's her name? Is it Sister Margaret or something?
Yeah,
Sister Margaret, who's kind of like the Dr. Loomis of this movie. You know, she's like the one that has this feeling that Billy's not all right, but I will put him into a store and everything will be fine.
I think maybe that's what played into it not going down too well as well. Is that it was, I guess, because it was just about the killing. It does glorify it a tiny bit, especially if you don't have anyone, you know, trying to stop it really, or someone to root for, as you said. Maybe that would play into why parents were even especially more angry, because it was kind of just like following the killer.
I don't think they saw the movie, I'll be honest with you. I think they saw the trailer and condemned it. If they saw the movie, they would have more to argue. It's more like...
Maybe some of the critics who panned it, Roger Ebert, who said, you know, people have nothing to be proud of. Maybe it plays into that. I don't know. I'm just trying to see both sides here.
They made a movie that made a lot of money. I mean, I think they're proud of that. At the end of the day, money talks.
Yeah, they could have made more, though. They could have made a lot more. So that probably bothers.
They could have, but... They came out at the same time as Nightmare on Elm Street.
And they were doing better until they got pulled. So they were probably like, fuck.
That was a juggernaut. That was a juggernaut of a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It became a juggernaut after this movie got pulled. Everyone went and saw that instead.
Yeah, well, it is the superior movie, though, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah. It is much the superior movie. This movie is okay. Yeah, it's okay. That's what I'll give it. It's a bad movie. It's a bad movie.
I think it's like, it's just, it's a fine movie. Like I said, you have a couple of beers, you're with some friends, you watch the movie. That's its area.
That's its limit, its limitation. Yeah. That's
it's
its
not
going to
be anymore. You're not going to have a deep dive and an explained YouTube analysis of this movie.
No. Absolutely no chance. No. Absolutely no chance. But it was worth watching, you know. Worth watching. I would probably never watch it again. Yeah, probably never watch it again.
What about part two?
Maybe I would tune into that scene just to see that funny scene. I don't know. Would I watch it? Maybe. I don't know if I'd go out my way and set my time aside for it. But if it was on, I'd watch it. Yeah, maybe I'd watch it. Maybe I would. Who knows?
So, for you, is this a Christmas cracker or a lump of coal?
Yeah. It is a... I mean, it's a lump of coal, isn't it? Maybe not a lump of coal. Do you know what it is? It's like... it's like one of those Christmas presents you get. I don't want to call out any specific brands.
In case the person that's listening to you says, hey, I got you then, you bastard.
Yeah. And also, I wouldn't call it socks because I actually think socks is an okay present. It's better than some. It's a sort of
underrated.
It's the sort of present you get when it's a physical thing and you never wanted it. You don't know what to do, but you don't know where to put it. It's too big to store.
It sounds like a dig at me right now.
It's not a dig at you, right? Calm down. It's one of those presents where you're just like, ah, thanks. You don't know where they got the idea to get it for you. All right. So it's not a dig at you. You thought I liked Die Hard. I'm talking about people who don't know you. They get you something. And, and then you're stuck with it. I would say that's this movie. Lumber Coal was like purposely bad. This has a purpose to be awful. I would say it's one of those presents.
I think of it as like a stocking filler. You know, when you got like a little toy and a stocking filler that you're like, oh yeah, it's that toy, but you never play with it and you forgot where you put it at the end of the day, but it exists. You know it exists. If you see it, you smile at it, but about that, that's about it.
All right, fair play. That's about it. So we're both agreeing. No rotation, bad movie. We don't recommend it. Or do we recommend it? Do you recommend
it? No, I recommend it. I would recommend
it. Yeah. He'd recommend anything to fucking anybody. Exactly. He doesn't give a fuck about other people's time.
Fuck their time.
If I waste my time,
I want you to waste your time too. Yeah.
Waste your time on this. All right. Let's move on to what we'll be watching next week.
Happy holiday, while the merry bells keep ringing. Happy holiday to you.
Happy holiday.
Okay, next week I decided on something different. I mean, I probably gave away a little bit the route I was going down for a Christmas movie by saying 2046 earlier. I was thinking a foreign Christmas movie because it may not come up in...
Because they celebrate it in other countries too.
They do celebrate in other countries too. Well, it's just a foreign... I've not seen many foreign Christmas movies. So I did some research. I was looking around. I tried to find the best ones. And I came across one that is on Amazon Prime. You have to pay for it in your face. You know, you made me pay for the last one, so you're paying for this one. It's called A Christmas Tale, and it's a French movie. And I'll tell you what it's about. A matriarch's need for a transplant from a blood relative brings a reunion of the volatile Villiard family at Christmas. Yet a simple family gathering can't begin to describe the unpredictable emotional experience of this magical drama that's equal parts merriment and melancholy. That's a fantastic description, by the way. Whoever wrote that, well done. That's a great description. So that is the movie we're going to be watching next week. It's quite a long movie, 2 hours and 25 minutes, but it has great reviews. And I thought, hey, maybe this will do well. Maybe we'll enjoy this movie.
It's when you were talking about it, it did sound like a Hallmark movie.
It's not a Hallmark movie. It's a highly rated French movie. 7 out of 10 on IMDb, 86% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's from director Arnoud Desplechin, if I've said his name correctly.
It doesn't sound like he did, but I think we can probably we know who you mean.
But he's French, and that's all that matters.
He's French, so he has to just accept that that's his name now.
Yep. And I looked at the trailer. It did look pretty good. And I don't know. I just think it might be a good one to explore. A French Christmas movie, dark comedy, and that is that.
That is that, and this is this.
That is that, and this is this, and that's the next episode that we'll be doing. And then after that, we're doing the fucking top 25. So we may as well talk a little bit about that before we wrap up.
The top 25.
Hold on. Top 25 worst Christmas movies.
So it's just the worst 25. What would it be, the top 25
worst? Top 25 worst. You'd say top 25 worst.
I'd say worst 25.
Top worst?
Worst? Well, yeah, but you don't put top as in like... What does that mean? It's the worst, isn't it? It's not the best out of the worst? What are you talking about?
It's the top 25 worst. You wouldn't say... What would you say? Worst? You just say worst.
The worst 25 Christmas movies, right?
Okay.
I'd put...
Agree to disagree. So next week, Christmas Tale, and then the week after, worst Christmas movie. That's it. We're only three episodes of Christmas. How have we done that?
That's where we had more last year.
Well, I have no idea, but all I know is that I've been watching a lot of terrible Christmas movies lately, and I don't feel anything jolly.
Well, you can take a break from it and enjoy A Christmas Tale.
I will try.
There you go. All right. We'll join you next week. And Santa
Claus farewell. Has got a toy for every good girl and good little boy. Santa's a great big bundle of joy when he's coming down the chimney down.
When he's coming down the chimney down.
He'll have a big fat pack upon his back. And lots of goodies for you and for me. So leave a peppermint stick for old Saint Nick hanging on the Christmas tree. It's the holiday season.
The holiday season.
So hoop-dee-doo and dickery-dock. Don't forget to hang up your sock. 'Cause just exactly at 12 o'clock he'll be coming.